Last week we were in Matthew. I was going to go to the visitor here. I was going to go somewhere else, but I'm not. We're going to stay right where we've been in Matthew. And but in Matthew chapter 3, let's go there real quick. And of course, over the last, I guess, month, even a little bit longer, off and on, we've been in Matthew chapter 3. And then last week we talked about the significance of the wilderness, and we touched on all these other verses where Scripture's brought out the things of the wilderness. And the point to do that was, as you see these other Scriptures, for us to recognize that these that came out from Jerusalem and Judea to see what John had to say, as we read this in Matthew chapter 3, they knew, we talked about how they knew their heritage. Those that believed, they saw some things that were significant dealing with the wildernesses. We even talked about that the promises that were made to Moses and those that were wandering in the wilderness to go into the promised land, that never was fulfilled. And of course, when Joshua led those into the wilderness, they did not have that promise. They weren't given that promise, and it never came through. And then, of course, as Israel started worshiping other gods, became cursed, and all through time, all of a sudden in Matthew, you see Jesus born a king. These promises coming back, God dealing with His people again, and you see we're at John the Baptist coming out into the wilderness. You don't think those that believed and knew of their heritage and those things coming on, so this was a big deal where John was at. And we talked about that, of him going in the wilderness. And in John chapter 3 in verse 1, we'll just read verse 1 through 12 again, and then we're going to touch on his clothing and why I've read it all my life over and over and over again, because when you start reading the Bible through in a year, you know, you go to Genesis and you go to Matthew. So I got to verse 3, I've probably read chapter 3 600,000 times. Chapter 5, I probably don't know as well, but chapter 3, I would get that far. But I would just read it. And now all these things take significance. Well, this week when I was studying and looking at the clothing, I always, you know, you always heard of purple and fine linen and camel's hair and goat skins and all this. And you always read it, but you never really think of the significance in it. But if you think about it, if John was just going to wear rough clothing, it would have said rough clothing. But camel's hair meant something. I mean, everything means something when it comes to the Word, as much as the word of and in. We talked about that, of Christ and in Christ with faith. And so everything means something. And it means something to Israel, because this deals with Israel. And so in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Esaias, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, 'O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And so we talked about the wilderness last week, and we saw these things, and Matthew here in verse 4 is the main thing we're going to touch on tonight, and some significance to this. In Matthew 4 it says, "And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey." One thing to notice would be that the clothing is rough clothing, I believe. And so you'll notice this clothing that he had wasn't fine linen. It was rough. It was skin. Okay? It was camel's hair. Okay? And it's in contrast, we'll see as we study this, of soft clothing. Okay? So you'll see the difference. Rough is in connection, this rough clothing, as we see some scriptures tonight, is in connection to being a prophet. Okay, and these are things I hadn't thought about before until I studied it. We'll also notice the type of rough clothing that being camel hair is specific also, or probably would just have said rough clothing if it wasn't specific saying camel's hair. And so we'll see that probably next week. Now, the question I thought of is, do you think that when people would see the way he dressed, that it would make them think at all? Today, in your daily life, as you walk into places, especially when I grew up in a religious world, it was amazing the way somebody dressed. You could almost point out to who they were, especially in the church, whether they were important or whether they weren't. And so as these people saw John the Baptist in the wilderness with camel's hair, okay, and with a leathern girdle, do you think they knew what was significant about why he was wearing what he was wearing? We used to always grow up thinking, well, this guy was crazy, you know, or a youth pastor would make him sound really cool, and you know, they would always have this thing to entertain you with what he ate and what he wore, and the whole thing is the significance dealt with what Israel knew. And so we're going to see that. Go to Matthew chapter 11. Go to Matthew chapter 11. And let's look at verse 1 through 15. I think it brings the significance of what his clothing represented when you see that in contrast. And even Jesus would ask the question. Okay? And in chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again these things which ye do hear and see. Verse 5 says, The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Now this is Jesus talking to those disciples that John sent. Okay, verse 6 says, "And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John. Okay, now John's in prison. He sent the disciples, and he wants to know if Jesus was who he was, or is there another? He wanted to know, and Jesus tells those disciples, go tell them what you've heard and what you've seen. And now they have left, and here's the multitude, and he's going to tell people concerning John. Okay? And he says in verse 7, "And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind. But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are kings, are in kings' houses." Now, I'm going to stop there because remember, we've seen the past, even how the tabernacle was built and the clothing of the tabernacle. We've seen those that what they wore when they went into the Holy of Holies. All the clothing had significance, right? And you'll notice through the Old Testament, all the way through, up until this point, what is the issue now that John says, repent for what's at hand? the kingdom. And what's Israel going to be? Those that believe. They're going to be a kingdom of priests. And they're going to wear those type of clothing for that. And that's where Christ is asking this question. He says, "What when ye went out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind?" In verse 8, "But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." Now, what I love about this in verse 10, I know it gets off the subject. If it's not clear about the Trinity here, or about God the Father and God the Son, or what Christ spoke of, what would be? Because Christ sent John out, and Christ was not born yet, or Christ was not on the earth yet, sharing the word, right? But he says in verse 10, "For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And we'll go further into this. But the issue I want to touch on was back where the clothing had something to do with what people saw. And Christ asked himself concerning the multitude, concerning John, what did you see? You didn't see kings in soft clothing. They saw a prophet. And a prophet was identified by the clothing that they wore. Now, think about it. John the Baptist has gone out into the wilderness. You know those that believed understood the significance of the wilderness. Now, let's think about this too. Had Israel, those that believed that Jesus was the Messiah, had they heard from God from very long? They hadn't. Think about when they saw Him as He's clothed the way He is in the wilderness. You don't think that brought some excitement to them? Do you see why the multitudes would come to John to be baptized? Do you see why they would believe what John said? Because in the Old Testament, when a prophet spoke, he also had the clothing. And they knew to believe. And so I just think that's pretty neat to see those things, how they fit together. Because Israel had not heard from their God for over 400 years, right? And look, now they hear again. He's in the wilderness, and he's wearing the right clothes. That's what Christ brings up in chapter 11 of Matthew. So I just think it's so awesome how perfect this word is. Could you imagine John going out in soft clothing like a king? Well, Israel didn't have a kingdom yet. It wouldn't have fit. But it fit perfect. Because he was not only a prophet, he was more than a prophet. So I just think it's interesting. We know that when John shows up in his clothes, there is some identification with the ministry of prophets. Why? Rough clothing, skins, hairy garments, opposed to that of soft raiment. This clothing that's rough always seems to be in connection with what? If you go through the Old Testament, you see clothing that's rough. What do you see? It's always in connection with mourning, with weeping, with lamentation, with repentance. And what's going on? It's time to repent for the kingdom of heaven. It's time to make those paths straight. So he's preaching what fits perfect to Israel who has been fallen away, who has come again because the kingdom is going to be at hand. So the prophet here serves in a type of a priesthood likeness, I guess you would say. And we can take notice as we read that clothing is important. It's spoken of, but I've always read it, but you never hear it preached about or spoken about as the significance as we study the Word. Now, this isn't the type of lesson that you bring in. You just go into detail about about salvation of Christ. This is a study where we know the Word and we bring the significance of how the Word is more perfect. And that's why I'm teaching it mostly on a Wednesday night. But you can just make the Word that much more perfect. When people want to argue, you can even take it down to the clothing, you know, from the Old Testament. But he serves as a type of a priesthood likeness. And we can take notice as we read that clothing is important. It manifests itself all the way through the Word, is what I started thinking about. Even seasons show importance, right? Even seasons alone. And you have soft clothing that is in contrast even through the Word. You have leathern girdles, and the Word also talks about girdles of gold, right? You have clothing that's manifest of who the person is. What about the picture of the bride being adorned or arrayed in a certain way? It's important to Israel. These things are physical, right? Because it's about Israel. On the one side, we'll see why he's wearing what he is. On the other side, we'll see why he isn't wearing something else. Now they're getting to be prepared to be arrayed in something. And John the Baptist is the messenger to bring that one about. And he's going to prepare them to let them know that they're going to be a kingdom of priests and they're going to be arrayed in something. There's the promises that are going to be fulfilled that weren't made to Joshua in the wilderness, but John's here in the wilderness to bring these promises that were made. Kingdom of priests. They're going to be arrayed in a marriage one day. Revelation speaks about it. So the believer at this time that sees John, I believe, can know what's going on by what he's saying, but not only by what he's saying, by what he's wearing. I just think that's kind of neat. When I always laughed about what he wore, to me it has a lot more significance now. That's what I hope you notice in this. These little things are important. So this should be an exciting time for them, shouldn't it? Just as those that came to see that he was born a king, right? There is a uniform here that associates the prophet. Remember, they've gone a long time without seeing the prophet. This is why you see Jesus say what he does in Matthew chapter 11, verse 8, when he says, "But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses." Kind of reminds me of how you ever seen a charismatic movement, or you hear about a charismatic movement, or a book's written, or somebody. It kind of reminds me of a charismatic gets when they see someone with what they think this person's so anointed. You know, this is 100 times more exciting to something that's real. You ever see a charismatic movement, how they get all caught up and emotional and about somebody that they feel like they're anointed, you know? I grew up hearing, you know, hey, so-and-so's here, he's anointed, you know? Well, think about this. Here's a guy out in the wilderness that is sharing truth, that is a picture of a prophet, that they're finally hearing these promises again that were made in times past. So it's much more than that. But I just thought about the religious world today that gets caught up. And let me tell you why. They wear the right clothes to them. They have that particular way to them. You know what I'm saying? There's a religious world that tries to act like they're Israel. You know. I just think it kind of reminds me. Now remember, there would have to be great joy and anticipation here in Israel, and because this is their history. Okay, they're finally hearing the voice again of a prophet. So seeing this, you might not think as... when I read, I thought, well, this is peculiar, this is weird. But I don't think it's as peculiar as I once did when I see the significance of what he's wearing. It fits with what they knew. It fit perfectly with what they knew. Go to Zechariah, just a couple of verses that fit with this. Go to Zechariah chapter 13. In Zechariah chapter 13, and we'll go to this off and on some through Matthew, but look at just verses 1 through 5, and you'll see the significance of clothing again. In chapter 13, verse 1 through 5, Zechariah, if your Bible's new, kind of newer like mine, takes a minute to turn to. I turned to three books before I finally get there. Not in Zechariah a lot. Zechariah chapter 13 verse 1 says, "In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land. And they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, Thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesieth. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophets shall be ashamed every one of his vision, when he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive." Isn't that interesting? Even the picture of the garment. It says, "But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am an husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth." I just think that's an interesting picture of the significance of what one wears. The identity of a rough garment and a prophet. That person wouldn't even wear a rough garment to identify the right way to deceive somebody. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And go to verse 32. Hebrews 11:32. In Hebrews 11:32 it says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." There's a picture here that, I mean, of just noticing what these great men of faith, what they wore and what they went through. And you don't think when John was in the wilderness and he's wearing camel hair and a leathern girdle that those that believed didn't recognize the significance of what he had on and what he was doing, to the point they had no problem listening to the message of the prophet. I mean, that's how they heard from God in the Old Testament. You know, the word was not complete. That's what they had. They were edified by prophets. They knew the blessings by prophets. It was God speaking through man. And so they believed this when they saw John. Even the tabernacle had certain clothing that was arrayed. Tell you what, another, let's go to 1 Samuel. Go to 1 Samuel. This was an interesting story that I had forgotten about until I looked up clothing and saw this. If you get a chance, read it. I won't get in depth though, but it's worth looking at. 1 Samuel 28. Yeah, we'll just start starting verse 7. Then said Saul unto his servants, "Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servant said to him, "Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor." And Saul disguised himself. Now, who was Saul? He was a king. So what did he have to do? Because he knew how a king looked. And so it says, "And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment. And he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, 'I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee.' And the woman said unto him, 'Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die?'" You need to read the story before, because Saul's the one who stopped this stuff from happening, and now he's gone to this woman wanting to see for himself. Okay? And look at verse 10. "And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, 'As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing.' Then said the woman, 'Whom shall I bring up unto thee?' And he said, 'Bring me up Samuel.' And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, 'Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul.'" She never knew it because of his clothing, because of what he wore. Verse 13, "And the king said unto her, 'Be not afraid, for what sawest thou?' And the woman said unto Saul, 'I saw gods ascending out of the earth.' And he said unto her, 'What form is he of?' And she said, 'An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle.' And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself." So Samuel had a picture of something over what he had on. Another covering. Clothing is just important in everything, and Saul recognized it. And so I won't get into detail, but again, it's notice the clothing. Saul was a king and he changed. Notice Samuel, covered with a mantle. Go to Numbers chapter 15. In Numbers 15, and there's many, there's so much more. I'm just touching on some. You'd be here all night. But I just thought these were some that were interesting to me. In Numbers 15, look at verse 37. Numbers 15:37. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, 'Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them. And that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a whoring." It's pretty harsh words, isn't it? Verse 40, "That ye may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God, I am the Lord your God. Now, if you read before this, it was the Sabbath, and a person was stoned because on the Sabbath, you know what he was doing? He was picking up sticks. Okay? And so, he was killed. Okay? And so, I thought it was significant that what they wear and what they put on, a blue ribbon, which is significant to what? The heavens. If you know colors, it's significant to the heavens. So instead of looking down, you need to look up. And every time they had that ribbon, you don't think they remembered what took place? You don't think they knew the heritage of the man that was stoned before for what he did? I mean, all these things, these clothing, these colors, these roughness, this harshness, all these little bitty things mean everything. I would have hated to live back then. I'm just telling you, I would have been scared. Fear the Lord. Israel, they were to fear the Lord. We were not given a spirit of fear. It's just interesting the difference in grace today, isn't it? You know, these people continued. And so again, one that before broke the Sabbath and was stoned, he was picking up sticks from the ground. So now there is this garment with the ribbon of blue in connection to that blue, this color of heaven. He was looking to look at the sky, to notice God. What was it that in Ecclesiastes that was always said? There is nothing new under the sun, right? The thing was to look to heaven, to look for the kingdom of heaven to come. And I just think there's all these little things of colors, of clothes, of when we read it, they make a significance in our life. One thing I heard that I thought was interesting, and I hope I get it right, but it's just something else that years ago there was something that they used to, what they wore in a robe in the Jewish culture today, even if you go in times past, you know, back before the 50s, there was the Jews would put a blue stripe on the robe for some significance about going into the temple, I may be saying it wrong, but it was significance of they had a blue stripe, and the word was they would use a snail that placed the evidence that had the blue ink, okay, that they would get it from. And it was kind of funny because up about the 60s, up until about, well, before the 60s, they thought that snail became extinct. Okay, and I'll try to look the story up next week, but it's just interesting that they started having a black stripe. Okay? And so that's what they would wear. And I believe 60s or 70s, they realized they found that snail again. And now, where they get their blue pinstripe again is from that snail. I just think that's kind of interesting. That should kind of tell them, I mean, God surely didn't fail, you know, but again, everything is so physical to them. But in the same thing, today, in a religious world, whether it's Islam, whether it's Hinduism, whether it's those that are Indians, aren't they Hindu? What on their forehead, the red dot, I mean, the sackcloth and ashes in the times past. I mean, all of these things of what people wore has a significance, and they can follow their heritage on the back. I mean, I grew up, and there's no way my mom would let me walk in First Cumberland Presbyterian with a pair of shorts on. There's no way you would do that in a long time ago. By the time I was 18, when you were involved in new stuff, we started wearing them on Sunday night. It all of a sudden became okay. You know. But I mean, the world's so caught up in what you wear and how you look. Teens have uniforms. You know. And so, I believe Matthew chapter 3 is just so significant when I read it now and I see the things now of how John wore, where they would recognize who he was. And so when we read these stories just going through it, we've got to remember that all Scripture is profitable. It's perfect. It's preserved. Even down to the point of what a prophet wore so they would know and believe that this man was a prophet. I just think it's as interesting as you get that I could talk for 35 minutes about clothing. I just think that's interesting, of how perfect God's Word is.